more information. Everlynn of Clemson, 150 Pershing Avenue in Patrick Square.
Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Well, you just sit back and enjoy the show.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
I can't wait till I get you on the floor, good looking. Hey, going hot, so hot, just like an oven. And
hour number two, Out of Bounds. William Quagamish, Kelly Gramlich. I am in Iowa City, Iowa at the Marriott here. We appreciate you joining us. Kelly Gramlich back in the Priority One Security Studios. Priority the number one, security.com. Priority One Security, serious security.
Quag,
Clemson.
How is Iowa?
Go ahead.
What's happening in Iowa? What is the vibe in Iowa?
The vibe in Iowa is, you know what? Honestly, it's kind of weird. They were talking about how balmy it is, and, like, everyone from our travel party had, like, has, like, 9 layers on. It's weird. Like, it's 40, but it's windy Midwest. Like, it's upper Midwest, 40. So, there's wind everywhere, and it just feels colder, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we went out last night, bundled up, whatever, and everybody's just freezing, and the folks at Iowa are like, they're just walking out in, like, shorts. Like, everybody here's got sweatpants on shorts and 9 layers and coats. Coach Butler gets off the plane on the bus, and I asked her how she was doing. She said, "We need more coats, Kwok. We need more coats." And I thought, you'd be right at home, Kelly. The plane was like an inferno. It was like 140 degrees. It was unbelievable.
Good.
So I don't know how in the world anybody got off that plane thinking, we need more layers. But that's what happened. So here, for the folks here, they're just kind of, they're feeling okay. We did get to ask one of the managers for Iowa last night, if he was in the car coming back to the hotel, and asked about the perceptions of the college football powers. And, you know, I want to get into these Feinbaum comments a little bit, too. I hate getting into Feinbaum comments, but God bless him. It's a day that ends in Y, so we made some. And so he talked about how the rest of the country does not want to see Utah in the playoff, mm-hmm. which I think is just so condescending. I mean, and as others have pointed out, that basically just means that Feinbaum goes to bed at 10 o'clock and he doesn't watch Utah play, and he's never watched them play. He doesn't care about teams that he hasn't watched play. And he really hasn't even watched Oklahoma play, because I don't know how you think Oklahoma's one of the top four teams and your reasoning is because of what Utah's not. Because Oklahoma is not a lot of things. But anyway, so we're talking about these playoffs or whatever and the perceptions. And particularly the perception of the Big Ten, because Iowa has to deal with that. And the person that was driving us around said that, honestly, the Alabama-Clemson stuff is annoying. And stop me where you've heard this before, because they feel like the Big Ten gets disrespected by the rest of the country. And part of that is because of what's happened in the playoff. You have spoken quite eloquently about that, Kelly. But they feel like, you know, Ohio State, They don't really like that Ohio State has some success, but they're glad to see a Big Ten team getting some respect this year. And I thought that was interesting that you heard that from Iowa, who was a team that was undefeated and going to the playoff just like, 3 years ago or whatever, before they lost to Ohio State in the conference championship game. So that was pretty interesting, their take on college football, that just what we've said, the regionalization of the playoff, where the best teams in the country reside in one pocket of the globe, shall we say, is not good for the sport broadly, and that actually is a better argument for Utah getting in, because it involves another part of the country. And I knew as soon as we heard that, I was like, Kelly is going to aim in this, because you've been saying that since the dawn of time, that we need to think more broadly about the game nationally.
Yes. That's why I would be totally fine with Utah getting in. And I'm kind of rooting for it, because I want the Pac-12 to have a chance and I want that part of the country to be represented. And look, I completely understand. College football in its core is a regional game. You know, I've been watching a lot of those college football 150 documentaries and things of that nature. And it talks about how regional the sport was, because generally you had, you know, your game was on local radio. It was maybe on a regional television station, at least throughout the history of college football. But it wasn't broadcast nationally unless it was the big time games or Notre Dame, right? So that's just how college football came to be. It is, in fact, a regional game. So that, let's just get that out of there. It is a regional game. I'm not sure it's ever going to be, quote unquote, a national game, just because certain parts of the country are much better at it than others. That's why I'd like to see Utah get a chance. I'd like for the California area, the West Coast, California, whatever it is, Utah, obviously, and the people that live there, but Arizona, the Pacific Northwest, to at least have a reason to watch this and see what the Pac-12 can do. Because I promise you, the casual sports fan in Seattle probably doesn't really care about Clemson and Alabama. And the casual sports fan in Iowa, like your Uber driver or whoever this was, probably doesn't care about Clemson and Alabama. And obviously we care, but I think we have to look outside this bubble that we live in. And I think Feinbaum also lives in kind of a bubble, even though he's on Get Up and he's in New York City. He sees everything from just this SEC bubble and that the country only wants to see good teams, but they also want to see teams that are close to them and are in their conference. And maybe they know someone whose cousin is on that team and they want to watch. I think there's so much more than just want, let's just get these really good teams in there and let's watch it. Now, I want the four best teams. Don't get me wrong, but just so happens that this year it looks like Utah is one of the four best. So let's put them in and see what happens.
You know, there's a leadership principle here that I am totally in favor of and believe in. And that's the principle of lifting. Like, to me, Feinbaum is good because he plays to the least common denominator. And we can talk about this in politics. You can talk about it in, I don't know, churches. You can talk about it in business. You can talk about it in sports like this. To me, the easiest thing in the world to do is to play to the lowest common denominator, to basically tell people that what they see with their eyes is all there is and that they're fine with staying where they're supposed to be. To me, great leadership says, look up, look out. There's bigger and better things. We're not satisfied. I know this is what you think, but this isn't how it is. And it allows people to aspire to something. That's a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. I think we're becoming, the world's becoming increasingly smaller. And so the things that we aspire to, the things that we don't feel like we know are shrinking. But I still feel like that's the thing. To me, putting Oklahoma in the playoff and Feinbaum saying, well, we should put Oklahoma in because let's be honest, nobody wants to see Utah. I've been saying all along, people should want other people to watch Utah. People should, if you've watched Utah, you should be pounding the pavement saying, Utah, 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 Utah. This team's great. This team's top 10 in efficiency. This team is you know, you could even though they're not quite Ohio State and Clemson, you can put them in the same conversation with Ohio State and Clemson in a number of respects. Not that they're the same caliber of team, but that's what you use to get people's attention. Not saying, well, nobody cares, so why should we care? That's not the point. We talked about agenda setting yesterday. You brought it up. Media tells people, doesn't tell people what to think. They tell people what to think about. If people wanted Utah to be at the forefront, you can say, Paul Feinbaum could say, you know what? People should give Utah a shot. And people would give Utah a shot because that's the kind of voice that he has. That's why I was annoyed by his comments, because he just spoke for the whole country when we know that he lives in a box.
Right.
And he also didn't use his platform to lift our eyes, to lift us up to a higher level of understanding about what's happening and things that we may not have seen because we can't watch every game every week.
And, you know, I see some parallels between Utah and Clemson 4 years ago. Now, hear me out, or 5 years ago, I should say. Hear me out on this. I understand that Clemson has more history than Utah just over the course of its existence. And it's won a national championship before, and I totally get that. But 5 years ago, you were much more likely for someone to say, where's Clemson? What is Clemson, right? Heading into that year, heading into that playoff, Clemson was undefeated, whereas Utah is not, and I'm aware of that. But Clemson was the school that wasn't always on people's minds, and then they were given a shot, and look what they've done. I think Utah has some Clemson elements there where we don't really think of them as much. They're out of the radar. They're off the radar. They're in a smaller kind of area, population-wise, all these types of things. I see some parallels. And look, obviously around here, we wanted Clemson to get a shot, but the nation gave Clemson a shot, and Clemson's turned out to be the most dominant football program over the last 5 years. So why does Utah not deserve a shot to at least prove itself? Look, Washington, when they were in the playoff, they didn't get blown out as badly as Ohio State or Michigan State. They actually put up a fight. So let's see if Utah can put up a fight. I think this is ridiculous. And in some ways, I think Feinbaum is becoming what Skip Bayless was on ESPN a couple years ago. Just a full hot take machine, and he just wants to get retweets and likes, and he wants you to quote him, and he's saying stuff that he doesn't really believe at all, but he's just trying to say outlandish things because that's now his brand and his MO.
I mean, yes, Utah is a name that people don't associate with elite. And if they did, they would say that's an elite group of five or an elite mid-major or something like that. If you think of Utah as elite, you might be thinking of Keith Van Horn and Richard Jefferson and the late Rick Majerus back in the 90s going to the Final Four. But here's what people need to understand about Utah, okay? And this is why I think the conversation doesn't need to stop with, well, nobody cares, so why should we care? Utah's got a running back that's averaging the same yards a carry as DeAndre Swift with a greater workload and double the touchdowns, okay? Nobody would say, you know what, nobody cares about DeAndre Swift because DeAndre Swift plays for Georgia and people care about Georgia, but Zach Moss has been a better back than DeAndre Swift this year. You've also got a guy in Tyler Huntley who's got a higher quarterback rating than every quarterback in the country except Tua, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Justin Fields. That means he's got a higher passer rating than Trevor Lawrence. He's got a higher passer rating than Justin Herbert. He's got a higher passer rating than Sam Howell. He's got a higher passer rating than Anthony Gordon, Dylan Gabriel from UCF. You name it, Charlie Brewer, any of these guys. He's fifth in the country in passer rating. 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. The only quarterbacks with fewer interceptions that have thrown a decent number of passes. Justin Fields has 1, and then everybody else, a part-time player. Jaden Daniels from Arizona State has 2 along with Huntley. Dustin Crum, whoever that is, from Kent State also has 2. This is a team that if you put the stats from the players on a different program, we would care. You can't just, and this is where my sense of fairness kicks in, where I don't want the chaos. I don't want the, everyone's losing their mind. I don't know what the committee's going to do. I want to reward the most rewardable players, coaches, fan bases, teams, whatever. To me, Utah is that. And the only reason they're not is because people don't know who Utah is. And my lack of ignorance, I'm saying my in the proverbial sense or the general sense, our ignorance should not be a reason to keep Utah out. And I feel like that's what Feinbaum said today.
Yeah, no, I hate when people say, yeah, no, I'm sorry I did that. Yes, I agree completely with what you're saying, Kwok. I am with
654 Roar is a number. I want to ask you this too, because there was another thing that I brought up that didn't catch me off guard, but I am constantly reminded that it does catch other people off guard. Just because I've been saying it for a long time doesn't mean that people aren't new to the party. 5 through 25 only matter to prop up the top 4. I don't know how many consecutive weeks I've said this, but I'd say it every week. That's all that matters. I want to ask you if this stood out to you. First of all, there were 2 different things. Alabama played a road game against a team that moved from 15 to 11 in the rankings with a backup quarterback that frankly played, I mean, other than 2 pick sixes, which is a big fat other than, I realize, played pretty well, got a bunch of yards against a really good defense, lost by 3 on a missed field goal at the end, questionable call on the 1 second at the half, whatever it is. They lose under those circumstances and drop 7 spots. What are your thoughts on that? Along with, if you drop 7 spots losing a road game to somebody, you must have lost to a bad team, but Alabama lost to a team that's currently ranked 11th who went up 4. I don't know how that works.
That was odd. To see them drop 12 to 12, I was pretty surprised by that. But also, they only dropped to 5 with their first loss. And I don't think anyone thought they were the 5th best team with Mac Jones at quarterback, even though they did almost beat Auburn. It was an overcorrection, I believe. I would have put Alabama more where the AP poll did, maybe in the 9 or 10 range. And, you know, they have Alabama behind Auburn, which I think is right. And then they have behind Penn State, behind Florida. I'm not sure about that. In the AP, they have Alabama above Auburn, which is weird. But they have them above Penn State, which I'm good with. They have them above Wisconsin, which I'm okay with. I thought 12 was a little harsh. I was thinking they put them 9 or 10.
It just feels weird to combine those 2 things. You would think either Auburn had a super impressive win and moved up 4, or Alabama had a really bad loss and dropped 7, but you wouldn't think that the 2 were the same, and they were literally playing the same game. And the same thing happened with the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe, where Wisconsin moves up 4 spots from 12, and Minnesota drops 10 spots down to 18. You would think that if you moved a team up four, that either a bunch of teams lost, which didn't happen, above Wisconsin, that when you move them up four, that they beat a good team or they won an impressive game, or the team that drops 10 just lost to a terrible team, like maybe one that went 4-8 this year. But instead, both those things happen in the same game. It's the same basic thing. With Alabama and Minnesota, the committee used them and then dropped them. Alabama and Minnesota only served the committee's purpose, and then when they didn't serve the committee's purpose anymore, when they couldn't use them anymore, they threw them out. That's the only explanation for this, that as long as the committee can use you, they're going to bump you up. There's no other reason why Wisconsin moved up to 8 other than to give Ohio State a top 8 win. There's no reason why Alabama is now behind Auburn other than they wanted that matchup to mean something this week, and so they kept Alabama at 5, even though they really didn't think Alabama was worthy of 5. They kept them there anyway, and so now they dropped them way down. It feels like the rankings only serve the purpose of the committee, and that's why there needs to be a body that somehow ranks, uses a rank. They need to use something else beside their own rankings to justify themselves, because we see it in action right there with the plummeting of Minnesota and the plummeting of Alabama, that the committee is just going to do what the committee is going to do, and you're only as good as your worth and your usability, your usefulness in that room to prop up somebody else.
I hear you, and I'm with you on that, but I am fine with Auburn being ahead of Alabama. I know you look at the losses and you say, well, they only lost twice versus three times, but Auburn actually has good wins. They have a win they can hang their hat on in the Oregon win. That's something to be proud of. And then, of course, they beat Alabama, which is still, even with this poll, a top 15 team, whereas Alabama has not beaten a single ranked team. So I'm fine with Auburn being ahead of Alabama. Plus, you look at head-to-head. I'm good with that.
It was the idea, and I know Brad and John were talking about this as I was connecting today. They were talking about how Alabama got credit for games that hadn't been played yet, and that we thought that was happening the entire year. To me, going into the Auburn game, those same things would have been true, Kelly. And it was almost like, to Dabo's point, they were going to make Alabama lose that game before penalizing them as opposed to making them win it. You make Baylor win, you make Minnesota win. To a certain extent, you make Clemson win, you make Alabama lose. And once Alabama loses, you drop them like a bad habit. It feels icky. Sure. I feel icky about these rankings. But maybe I'm being a fearmonger and a rumor monger here, and I'm wearing the tinfoil hat, and I don't mean to, but that was just, it's odd to both credit a team for winning a game and then really punish a team for losing that exact same game.
I hear you. I hear your concern. I also want to ask you about how they left Utah above Oklahoma. So Utah's 5, Oklahoma 6, and what that means for the upcoming Pac-12 championship and Big 12 championship, and basically what needs to happen for Oklahoma to get in besides Utah losing. If Utah wins by a touchdown on Friday and Oklahoma wins by 40, does that change this situation? If, of course, Georgia loses.
Get excited, people. We're doing that on the other side. Plus, we need to begin Hump Day headlines because I need it and you need it and everybody needs it out there. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds. Hour 2 continues in just a moment.
R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports, located in Seneca and Anderson, is a factory-authorized dealer for EZ-GO and Cushman vehicles. They can fully customize your EZ-GO cart as well. With 0% financing, now it's easier than ever to own your own EZ-GO or Cushman vehicle. There's plenty of convenient game day rental packages and free demos available, too. Don't miss out this season. Stop by R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports on 123 in Seneca and Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Online at rnrgolfcarts.com.
Lunch is best when it's Bojangles. If it's lunchtime, it's Bowtown.
Upstate Hemp in Easley is your new one-stop shop for all things CBD. Owners Stan and Kara served a combined 41 years in the United States Air Force. They take pride in outstanding customer service and hemp education. Upstate Hemp carries only the best CBD products made in the USA. Family and pet friendly, they're here to do things differently. Enjoy the boutique style atmosphere and personalized service to find the right products at an affordable price to help with anxiety, insomnia, and inflammation. 225 South Pendleton Street, downtown Easley.
The time has come for you to get your new South Carolina driver's license or ID. Visit scdmvonline.com to learn more about Real ID and what you need to buy your new license today. You may even be eligible to buy your new Real ID online and avoid an SCDMV branch altogether. Gather all required documents now and buy your Real ID with Gold Star at any SCDMV office in the state. Make sure your ID will get you on an airplane or into a federal building before it's too late. Visit scdmvonline.com and make the switch today.
It's auction time again, Friday, December 6th. Johnny King Auctioneers is conducting a court-ordered absolute liquidation of a landscape tree company in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Commercial trucks, chippers, tractor, excavator, trailers, commercial mowers, and other landscape tree-related equipment. Everything sells to the highest bidder regardless of price. Visit jkauctions.com to view photos and details of this auction. A great opportunity to make needed purchases before end of year for tax purposes. Spend Friday with us and you're over halfway to Charlotte for the championship game. Go Tigers!
It's finally here. College football in the fall, my favorite time of year. The pageantry, tailgating, school pride. It's like nothing else. Something else that's unique in a different way is health insurance and employee benefits. An employer offers benefits to attract and retain good employees. And for most companies, this is the time we start renewing that process. I'm passionate about college football, and I love what I do. I get to help people. I help business owners protect their bottom line. We make life easier for HR. We help employees understand what they have and how it all works. Can we help you? Give us a buzz at 864-INSURE-1. That's 467-8731. I'm Guy the Insurance Guy. My company is The Insurance Source. And what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
For over 30 years, Tigertown Graphics has been Clemson's source for one-of-a-kind t-shirts, fleece shirts, ponchos, and everything else that's authentically Clemson. And when we say authentic, we really mean authentic. Who knows fans better than fans themselves? Made in Clemson by Tiger fans for Tiger fans. With tons of new designs each year, Tigertown Graphics is your go-to for everything Clemson. There's something for everyone. Visit Tigertown Graphics in downtown Clemson.
No rules, just out of bounds on 105.5, The Roar.
We can explain it more slowly if you need us to. You're not big sports guys?
No,
we get it.
Now, back to Walkin' Kelly.
You and me, we come from different worlds. You like to laugh at me when I look at other girls. Sometimes you're crazy, then you wonder why.
Back here on Out of Bounds, we're happy to be with you on this hump day. We have hump day headlines coming up in just a second. But first, we're going to get to the callers as well. And I have to tell you that Out of Bounds today is brought to you by Toyota of Easley. Recently, I had an issue with my car. It would not start. And in true Kelly fashion, I was panicking because I knew nothing about cars. So I did find a way to get to start with the help of other people that knew what they were doing. And then I took it directly to Toyota of Easley, and they figured out that my battery terminals, were loose, and they fixed that up, no charge, sent me on my way, said if they had any more issues that I could just call them and I could come over there right away. So that's the kind of service you get from Toyota of Easley, from their service technicians and that service staff. They do an awesome job. They also have great sales associates. Their owners are on site daily. And they have a common goal of customer satisfaction. 3 years, no cost maintenance. They've won the President's Award 26 times. Go see them today on Highway 123 in Easley or online at toyotaofeasley.com. And I am happy to report that the RAV4 is running beautifully since its quick visit to Toyota of Easley. Yes, very good news, Quack. Very good news. Let's head to the Northland Communication phone lines. Jamie is up with us next. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, good afternoon, Kelly. Good afternoon, Quack.
Hi there, Jamie. Glad to have you on with us.
Are you here? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Good. Listen, I don't know. I'm just tuning in. I apologize. I don't really know what you guys have been talking about, but I'm hearing this chatter of Chad Morris to South Carolina. And that breaks my heart because that means I would have to like South Carolina a little bit because I love Chad Morris. He did a great job when he was here. And some people have said, well, why in the world would he do that? Because Will Muschamp. It's just a matter of time unless he can perform a miracle in Columbia, which I don't believe he's going to be able to do. It's just a matter of time before he gets the axe. I mean, he may hold on for another year or two, but as soon as the buyout goes down, unless something has changed, he's going to get the axe. Now, you would say, well, why would Chad Morris want to do that? Well, do you think there's any, first of all, do you think there's any truth to the rumors? Second of all, do you think the reason he may be trying to do this is because he may be thinking, hey, when Will Muschamp does get the axe, I'm going to be there and first in line to succeed him?
You know, that's an interesting call, Jamie. Interesting theories. We appreciate you getting in. I guess I've heard these rumors. I haven't seen much written in stone, and not stone, written on the internet about these rumors. Quack, what have you seen about Chad Morris, South Carolina? It just seems like maybe someone said that and then we're talking about it, but I would be really surprised if that actually happened.
I'd be stunned if Chad Morris ends up in South Carolina for a couple reasons. Will Muschamp, after 4-8 season, he got the vote of confidence, but if it, we looked at their schedule the other day, there's no guarantee they win 6 games next year. And also, Will Muschamp has a history of not letting his offensive coordinators have free reign, which Dabo gave, I don't know if he gave like 100% carte blanche to Chad Morris, but Chad Morris had an awful lot of freedom here to do what he wanted. This is a guy that wants to be a head coach, and I saw Chad Morris's name today, and it was not in conjunction with an offensive coordinator job. I want to read you this. This is from Football Scoop, where I live now. This is, you know, Frank Wilson was fired at UTSA. He was the fourth highest paid coach in Conference USA, $1.125 million. And this is what it says. Sources told Football Scoop Wednesday that three familiar names in South Texas have emerged as candidates to become the next top roadrunner. Former Arkansas head coach Chad Morris, former Houston head coach Major Applewhite, and Alabama defensive coordinator Pete Golding. If you give Chad Morris at least partial credit for the season that SMU has had, this seems like a great fit for UTSA because he can recruit the state. Frank Wilson could recruit, but just couldn't coach up his players very well. And Chad, I'm sure, wants to get back on the horse as a head coach. It's not like, you know, he's been a head coach forever and ever and wants to take a year off. I think he'd rather stay in the state of Texas, coach a smaller school, get back to where he was at SMU, and away from the politics and some of the difficulties of the Arkansas job. I would be surprised if Chad Morris takes an offensive coordinator job unless all of these other head coaching jobs are filled, and I'm talking specifically about this UTSA job and maybe like New Mexico or some job like that that I think he'd be a good fit for. That would be my response, Kelly, that I think Chad Morris is going to try to see if he can get back in a head coaching position before an offensive coordinator, and that may rule him out for some of these schools that would like to hire an offensive coordinator sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I think that Chad Morris definitely wants to be a head coach. That's there's a reason why he left Clemson and didn't stay and continue to do what he was doing, right? So I think it's pretty obvious that he wants to do that. And UTSA, definitely a lower-level program down there with not a lot of resources and not a lot of support, but a program in Texas, and that seems like where he wants to be in that area of the country. So, yeah, I would be really surprised. Apparently, this is from Steven Anderson, that one of Brad's guests from the Big Spur said that Chad was on their list for offensive coordinator candidates, but that could just be, that was just the writer saying, you know, this guy might be a candidate. We haven't, if Football Scoop isn't reporting it, most likely it's not really happening. So I wouldn't read much into that.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'll say about Chad Morris is, to me, I don't think that going and being Will Muschamp's offensive coordinator makes you likely to be the next guy, because I don't see South Carolina promoting from within. If you'll recall, the last time they promoted from within on their staff was the baseball job where Ray Tanner got Chad Holbrook. That did not end very well, and it didn't sit very well with South Carolina people when Holbrook got his program going. I don't think that would be a very popular move, particularly if it's Ray Tanner that's making the hire of the new head coach. I would imagine they would go out to try to get somebody with fresh blood from outside the program. I actually think Chad Morris taking another head coaching job and having a couple of, you know, a year or two that's pretty good puts him in better position for getting that job if he wants it than going to be any offensive coordinator, where they still are lacking skill talent, they still are lacking talent on the line of scrimmage, and you're still trying to figure out your quarterback situation, because in comes Luke Doty, a very talented freshman, to compete with Ryan Helinski for the job. And, oh, by the way, like all your running backs are gone from this year. So I'm not sure that's a ready-made situation. It's not like 2011 when he came to Clemson with Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins, and Nuke Hopkins walking through the door.
Right. And there's another factor with this. Chad Morris's son, who we think he was committed to Arkansas. He has decommitted, right?
Yes.
We know that. So this is Chandler Morris. He's a quarterback. He played at Highland Park, which is a massive school in Dallas, really good program up there. So maybe he wants to go somewhere where his son can follow. And I think UTSA, I mean, you'd think that his son, who was a highly rated recruit, could start for him at UTSA, and maybe that's something he wants to do.
It is really interesting, Kelly, and I know we got to go back to the phones here. If you look at his list, he's only 5'11". The offers that he has pulled in, okay, during the recruiting process, he's got a bunch. Clemson has offered, as a matter of fact. I'm looking at 247 right now. They've got Clemson listed in the cool category. Arkansas, Auburn, Boise State, Clemson, Colorado, Colorado State, Indiana, Kansas, Kansas State, North Texas, SMU, and TCU. The top three listed on here, and this would be above UTSA, Virginia Tech, where he took a visit back in November, Oklahoma, and USC have all offered him as well. So I think he wants to play for Dad, but it'd be hard to join Dad at UTSA if I could go play for Lincoln Riley or Graham Harrell, Clay Helton, or Justin Fuente.
No, I agree with that. And he's a four-star quarterback listed as a dual threat. If he has these other big-time offers and he wants to go somewhere else, I totally understand that. And it would be different. I don't know. Maybe if Chad Morris could get a job that's a little bit of a better job than UTSA, you know? And then maybe that's where he would go. The perfect situation, I know this is just completely out there and it wouldn't happen, but let's say Houston was open. I feel like that would be the ideal situation for a guy like Chandler Morris to follow his dad to like a little bit of a bigger program and not UTSA. It seems like he is a little bit too talented to play at UTSA.
Agree. 100% agree with that. And it depends on the nature of these offers. Maybe he wants to play 4 years. I mean, shoot, we just saw, speaking of Clemson connections, we saw Rick Stockstill have a lot of success with his son at quarterback, who's a talented guy, who maybe could have gotten a better offer than Middle Tennessee, but he ends up playing 4 years at Middle Tennessee. So if you want to play 4 years in an offense, you know, if you want to have an opportunity to step up, if Dad gets a better job, maybe you follow him. Otherwise, those offers are pretty tempting. It'll be interesting to see what he does.
For sure. Let's get back to the Northland Communication phone lines. Paul is in Ennery. What's up, Paul?
Not much, Kelly. Hey, nothing against Chad Morris, but I would love him to get the South Carolina job because he's not proved to me anywhere that he's a head coach. I think he's a lot like Muschamp, that he's probably a great coordinator, but he's never going to be a great head coach. I just have that feeling, and I'd love for him to get that job. I really would, because it would bother me one bit, because like I say, he hadn't proved to me that he can be a head coach. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate you getting in. We're not talking about Chad Morris being the head coach at South Carolina. We're talking about him being an offensive coordinator. And I do think that's part of the knock on him is that he hasn't really proven that he can have a tremendous amount of success as a head coach somewhere. He obviously had some success at SMU, and then they're doing really well now. But the most success that Chad Morris has ever had has definitely been as an offensive coordinator. And to me, that's why he might want to take the UTSA job to get back on track of proving that he can be a head coach.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the level that you go. And in fact, if you've got other former head coaches who see that job as one where you can potentially win and win big, I mean, Frank Wilson took over a bad program there and got them to bowls. I mean, they weren't winning anything. Got them to bowls. It's Football Scoop, they made the case for it and basically compared it to a UCF and a San Diego State where you've got a pro town with no pro NFL team and a group of five school, and UCF and San Diego State have been able to recruit and win big in recent years. So you could put UTSA on that flight if you make a good hire there and you have a good stable administrative system there. If Chad Morris can get that job, I just think that's better than joining a lame duck coach who is not super popular with the fans, particularly after yesterday. It seemed like that divide only deepened with the news that Ryan Helinski was playing on a bum knee and the damage control that South Carolina tried to do PR-wise, saying, no, it wasn't ACL, but it was meniscus and all that stuff. And, oh, by the way, the elbow with the Tommy John. I mean, you threw Tommy John surgery out there at one point. I mean, it was just – it was a bunch of craziness. I don't know why with options you would go into that job. To me, they're going to have to hire somebody young, maybe somebody from a group of five that doesn't mind taking a year to help lick his chops. It's not going to be, I don't think, unless it's somebody out of work that's just trying to collect the check, I don't think it's going to be somebody super flashy that Will Muschamp brings in there.
Speaking of Chad Morris, just very quickly, Texter says, what about Chad Morris to Texas as offensive coordinator? And I've seen on Football Scoop, they reported a couple days ago that the two main targets for Texas when it comes to offensive coordinator appear to be Joe Brady and Graham Harrell. Now, that is just the most Texas thing ever, right? To say, we want these two incredibly successful, well, Graham Harrell, not as much, but we're going to go take this guy from LSU and just take Joe Brady and pay him a bunch of money. But if they can't get either of those guys, Graham Harrell maybe makes a little more sense. If they can't get either of those guys, maybe Chad Morris comes into play. What do you think, Kwok?
I think Graham Harrell, honestly, I think Graham Harrell being at USC makes a lot of sense, more so than Texas, just because you know what you've got with Harrell at USC. And I understand that Texas would want him. Apparently, Harrell likes it at USC, and USC would want to keep him because they're now bringing back Clay Helton, so that job is not changing. There's not going to be any changing in the guard there.
We talk about that every first week of December. Is USC going to, are they going to fire him, or are they going to keep him?
Of course. Now, yes, and in our annual rite of passage, the answer is always, yeah, we'll just keep him. But if you do make a change, let's say in the middle of next year with Helton, Graham Harrell is seen as head coaching material. He was at North Texas and doing a good job there. He's from the Mike Leach tree, obviously, as a former Leach quarterback. And he did a really good job with USC's offense this year that looked a lot different from Texas's offense, just to be clear. I don't think either one of those is going to end up happening, because LSU is going to back the Brinks truck up to Brady. I think it's great how Steve Ensminger has sacrificed financially to basically let Joe Brady come in and usurp his authority as the guy who gets credit for the offense and take them into the college football playoff probably after this weekend. And I just think there's a comfort level with Harrell and USC that I think everybody wants to keep intact. To me, the guy who makes the most sense at Texas is Larry Fedora, unless he gets another head job at perhaps the UTSA. Larry Fedora is there. He's been an analyst. He obviously knows how to call ball plays. He's from the Spurrier, the Steve Spurrier School of calling ball plays. We saw what his offenses looked like in North Carolina when he gave a crap. I think he makes the most sense, and he would be a guy that would win the press conference and that Texas could tout without having to beat out other schools and look like you're playing second fiddle to other big schools. Because one thing Texas doesn't like is being outspent and looking like they're somebody's second choice. And so they do not want to publicly have a bidding war with LSU for Joe Brady that they're going to lose. They do not want to publicly have a bidding war for Graham Harrell that they're going to lose. They'd be better off to say, Larry Fedora is a baller. Here's who we got. And, oh, by the way, he was on the staff, so this is all going to work out.
How ironic would it be if Mack Brown is the head coach of North Carolina and Larry Fedora is the offensive coordinator at Texas?
That's great.
What world are we living in, Kwok? But yes, I think
that's... Give me more of that.
That's probably where they're going to go. It's just such a Texas thing to think, oh, yeah, we're going to go after Joe Brady. He's not leaving. Come on. They're going to pay him a bunch of money. I don't think he's going to leave there. It's kind of like when Texas was going after Nick Saban, not to compare Saban and Brady, but go after a guy that's super established where he's at, but just because it's Texas, he'll leave them for you.
LSU is currently, I don't know if people have noticed this, they're currently in the, hey, listen, sorry, high three-star, low four-star, look, you were a great idea for us before, but we're frying bigger fish now, so you got to go. They're in that part of the recruiting process.
They've come into some new money.
Yeah, that's right, and they are not ruining that. They're not going to let Joe Brady get away. There's no way in the world that that's going to happen. So, you know what? Hey, Texas, you give it the old college try if you want to be embarrassed publicly yet again. That's what I say to that. Unbelievable. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll head back to the phones, and it's time for Hump Day Headlines because we need this. Stay with us. More to come out of bounds in just a moment.
Walt here. Join me live from Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Enjoy 29-degree draft beer, delicious fresh food, and, of course, the scenic views. All this Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road. Be there.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger Update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
As the official credit union partner of the Clemson Tigers, Founders Federal Credit Union would like to congratulate Clemson on their recent national championship victory. Here at Founders, we like to show our Tiger spirit with a personalized Clemson debit card, and you can too. Visit our Clemson office or relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union and go Tigers. Founders is federally insured by NCUA.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Congratulations to 16 different members of the Clemson football team as they were named to the 2019 All-ACC football team. On first-team offense was quarterback Trevor Lawrence, running back Travis Etienne, along with wide receiver T. Higgins. Also, offensive guard John Simpson and offensive tackle Tremaine Ankrum. First-team defensive players for Clemson included linebacker Isaiah Simmons and cornerback A.J. Terrell. As far as second-team offensive players, well, congratulations go to offensive guard Gage Cervenka and center Sean Pollard. Second-team defensive players from Clemson include freshman defensive tackle Tyler Davis, along with cornerback Darian Kendrick. Third-team offensive players for Clemson was offensive tackle Jackson Carman, and also on the third-team defense, Xavier Thomas at defensive end, also defensive tackle Niles Pickney, and safety Kayvon Wallace. Honorable mention players for Clemson included on offense Justin Ross and wide receiver Amari Rogers. Rogers also selected as an all-purpose back. And then on defense, Justin Foster at defensive end was honorable mention All-ACC. Congratulations to all of these fine young players. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers. Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union.
Hey, Upstate, this is Hunter Renfrow, formerly with the Clemson Tigers, 2016 and 2018 national champions. I got my 2019 Titan at Granger Nissan of Anderson, and now I'm part of the Granger family. It's a car buying experience like you've never had before. Go Tigers.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
But Thompson King Law Firm, 222-0200.
Roosters Men's Grooming Center believes a man deserves a space of his own when it comes to grooming. Roosters offers the charm and comfort of a classic American barbershop, but updated to accommodate the 21st century man. Our professional stylists and barbers will make sure you receive the customized barbershop experience through classic haircuts, shaves, and products that reaffirm what it means to look and feel great. Roosters at the Plaza on Pelham. Book your appointment today at 884-8920.
Now is the time to check out Foothills Motorsports. They have over 500 combined motorcycles, ATVs, side-by-sides, and personal watercrafts on site assembled so you can get in, get out, and get back outside. South Carolina's premier power sports dealer, Foothills Motorsports, has Can-Am, Honda, Husqvarna, Kawasaki, KTM, Suzuki, Sea-Doo, Polaris, Slingshot, Yamaha, and Wave Runner, all under one roof. Stop in today at 104 Halter Drive in Piedmont or online at foothillsmotorsports.com.
Chicken, bacon, cheese, and ranch sandwich on Texas toast, barbecue nachos, smoked wings, deep fried ribs. Hungry yet? Reuben's Food, Sports, and Spirits, Highway 81 in Powdersville, invites you to savor their menu. Start with all-you-can-eat wings 7 days a week, or perhaps a delicious meat and three. Sundays, 11 until 2. Can't make it in? Reuben's can custom cater as well. Wings better than you remember from Chiefs. Reuben's, Highway 81 South, just off 153, 509-6312.
No rules, just out of bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
It's great to see freaks come together.
Now back to Walkin' Kelly.
Caroline.
Hour 2 Out of Bounds continues. It's brought to you in part by our friends at Tiger Town Graphics, celebrating more than 30 years as Clemson source for one-of-a-kind T-shirts, fleece shirts, ponchos, and everything else that's authentically Clemson. Check out over 30 new designs this fall. Many Clemson by Tiger fans, for Tiger fans. Visit their store in downtown Clemson today. Kelly Gramlich has Hump Day headlines coming up in just a little bit. We also have Will Vandervoort, who is going to join us in our next segment at 2:05, and then we'll shut down the show with a little basketball and some Hump Day headlines as well. But first, I got to remind you that there isn't much time remaining to shop for a very good gift this holiday season. You can give the holiday gift that families across America have loved for over 100 years. Yes, folks, that is Omaha Steaks. They get it done, folks. I'm telling you, they've been bringing families together since 1917. Right now, Omaha Steaks sharing an amazing limited-time holiday offer with our listeners to get a jump on your holiday shopping. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code OOB in the search bar to order the favorite gift package, a gift everyone will love, for just $69.99. Get 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, and a free 6-piece cutlery set. They're just throwing stuff in. And also a cutting board. All this delicious food, plus the free cutlery set they'll enjoy for years to come for only $69.99. You're talking about the most tender, the most flavorful, and you can only get steaks of this quality from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. Fifth generation family-owned company, over 100 years of expertise, the most tender steaks you've ever had. I can promise you, this stuff is incredible. We've already eaten the pork chops. Delightful. Again, order now. Get the favorite gift holiday package, $69.99. Go to omahasteaks.com, type OOB in the search bar. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type OOB into the search bar to order the gift everyone will love. Order the favorite gift package today. Again, it's OOB in the search bar at omahasteaks.com. Let's go to the phones before some Hump Day headlines. Bob is up with us next. What's up, Bob?
Hi. I am appalled by the what I think is a ridiculous way of choosing the four that get into the playoffs, and the eye test is nothing but subjectivity. So I think they ought to model a little bit more like they do in basketball, giving preference to the conference champion. And that should be the first stage of the playoff, in my mind. A lot of people talk about including 8. Include all of the teams. You have to win your conference championship if you're one of the top 5 Power 5 conferences, and take the 5 winners and 4 of them that have the highest national ranking, and that would take all the subjectivity out of it.
Well, but see, and here I don't disagree that that would make it easier, but what you just said, it would take all the subjectivity out. It really wouldn't, because you still would have to subjectively decide who is the 5th that gets left out. So there's no way to really take subjectivity out of it.
Well, not completely, but it's ridiculous. It looks to me like if Georgia beats LSU, they're in. And, and then they say LSU is in too. I mean, you ought to have to win your conference championship to be in. If you can't win your conference championship, then you shouldn't be there. And I think that would be a way of eliminating most of the subjectivity. And, you know, it's like Kelly's saying, it would involve then giving the people in the central part of the country, the Big 12 and the Pac-10 or Pac-12, whatever they're called now, they'd have a shot every year. I just think it would be a good way of doing it.
I don't disagree that I mean, I just like a formula for it, Bob, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I just don't think if you're going to have a 4-team playoff, there is going to be significant subjectivity. It's going to be significantly subjective. And I would also argue that if you're talking about putting the 4 best teams in, a lot of times those are the teams that aren't from the regions of the country that we're talking about. I mean, look, the worst team in the playoff era was the Michigan State team that made it in 2015, in spite not being a top 50 team in offensive and defensive yards per play. That's the worst team of the playoff era. And people say the Big Ten is disrespected. Well, then don't have the worst team of the playoff era. The reality is that this year, if LSU loses to Georgia and you thought they were the best team or the second best team before, how do you knock them out if they played an extra game? I just don't understand the logic behind that if we're going to have conference championships. Kelly, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. And look, if we want to have the four, do we want to have the four best teams or do we want to have the fairest possible collection of teams, right? Because I think that there, it's very possible that the two best teams can be in one league. We've actually seen that happen. I think the two best leagues in, teams in the country in 2017 were Georgia and Alabama. And that national championship game was epic. It was incredible. And Georgia and Bama, even though Bama didn't win their league, Bama disposed of Clemson. I'm going to use Andrew's word, disposed of, and from earlier. And Georgia beat Oklahoma. And they got to play for the national championship. And it was the best national championship we've seen outside of Clemson, Alabama in 2016. So it's very possible the two best teams can be in one league. So then what do you do with that? If you just want to have six teams, have eight teams, whatever, 24 teams, like the caller said yesterday, just to make it fair, then tell me what you're doing. Tell me you're making the fairest playoff ever and you're not going to have a playoff that actually gives me the four best teams, because I want the four best teams. I don't really care about fairness when you're incorporating the rest of the country. Now, I'm excited that Utah might make the playoff and incorporate that part of the country, but I don't want Utah in the playoff just to help people in Utah and the West Coast watch the playoff. I want the four best teams.
Let's take one more phone call. Chuck is up with us next. 654 Roar is the number. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, how's it going today, guys?
Going good. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I am. Look, I was listening to the playoff talk, and what concerns me is if Georgia beats LSU, that's the only way they'll get two in the playoffs. So you better keep your eye on those SEC refs, because we've been watching them all year, and that's the most corrupt group in the country.
You know, it is interesting with the things that went against Alabama on Saturday. It did seem like a conspiracy to sort of like knock them off. And of course, my brain always goes to the mafia. So it just seemed like a mob style hit on Alabama just a little bit. Just because they knew they weren't one of the four best teams. I know it's very conspiratorial, but I'm not going to not watch for that, Chuck, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch that Texas A&M Georgia game, I mean, the refs are the only ones that made Georgia still in the rankings.
You gotta
watch that group if they stand to get two in the playoffs.
Chuck, that's interesting. I appreciate the phone call. He ain't wrong. Georgia benefited from a lot of questionable calls against Texas A&M, Kelly. Again, that's very conspiratorial, but I'm not gonna not watch for that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Kwok. I'm with you on that.
I mean, you know. Hey, it's time. Look, before we get to Will Vandervoort, I need this. I'm not going to make it through the next 4 minutes without some update headlines. Hit it!
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Kwok, it is hump day indeed. And we're going to have some more headlines after we have Willard V on in the next segment. But let's end with this headline here in hour number two. This is from the Baltimore Sun, okay? Even Pope Francis is hopping on the Lamar Jackson bandwagon. Have you seen this story, Kwok?
I have not, but I'm very concerned about where this is headed, just in relation to the future of the Catholic Church here.
Here's the article from the Baltimore Sun. The influence of quarterback Lamar Jackson and the Ravens has reached all the way to the Vatican. Baltimore Archbishop William E. Lurie, in Rome with other bishops from the area for the Ad Limina, visit, in which they deliver detailed reports about their diocese, presented Pope Francis with a custom-made Ravens jersey Wednesday. The jersey featured the last name Francis on the back and Jackson's number 8, signed by Jackson and Coach John Harbaugh. The article ends with no word on whether Pope Francis will be rooting for the purple and black when they take their 8-game win streak to Buffalo to face the Bills on Sunday. But there is a picture, actually a video, of this archbishop from Baltimore presenting this to the Pope, signed by Harbaugh, signed by Lamar Jackson. This is just hilarious to me. Like, why all of a sudden is the Pope a fan of Lamar Jackson? Has he expressed his fandom, and then we're going to give him this jersey. I just thought this was really funny.
I love it so much. Give me more NFL references in Latin, in these, what do you call them, liturgies? What do you call them in the Catholic Church?
You could say that, yeah. Homilies.
Homily. You call it a homily. Give me more references to Lamar Jackson followed by some Latin on either side. That's what I need. I'm going to need you, whenever he does this, I'm going to need you to read the Latin statement that he makes.
Oh no!
As a true blooded Catholic would, to read the whole thing, and specifically to say Lamar Jackson's name in the middle of that.
I'm pretty sure Harbaugh is Catholic. Is that part of this too?
It may be. I do think that he's a Catholic. I may be wrong. I do think that he's a Catholic though.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, I mean, this is pretty cool. So Lamar Jackson, Pope Francis, big Lamar Jackson fan, and maybe vice versa. I don't know. We'd have to ask Lamar Jackson about it.
Well, if the Pope is tasked with spreading the gospel, then the Archbishop has spread the Lamar Jackson gospel to the Pope.
He has, all the way across the pond.
Passing up the food, across the pond. Passing it up the food chain there. That was a good headline to end hour two, I think.
Yes, and we have a few more coming up, Kwok. One in particular, I think you're going to really enjoy. Maybe you've seen this. I'm not sure. But Greg Schiano has some interesting perks in his new contract with Rutgers. We'll get into that. Because basically, we need to throw a bunch of perks at you if you're willing to coach at Rutgers in this day and age.
This is very true. I want to know one more thought on this Pope Francis story. I want to know if the Archbishop was talking to everybody else. I don't know what's under the Archbishop, other bishops. I don't know. About how disgusted he was that the Ravens drafted the wide receiver from Louisville. I just need to know that. I need to know if that was his approach to it.
If he and the Pope were texting during the draft.
That's right. That's right. We need inside scoop on this. Hour two is in the books, ladies and gentlemen. Hour three, Will Vandevort next.
Broadcasting from the Priority One Security Studios, WAHT AM 1560 Cowpens, WCCP FM 105.5 Clemson, Greenville, and